A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
You're listening to Achtung Law, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Yeah, let's just talk about the outcome, and that's the win. And that's the most important thing at the moment. You know, to win the game in such a precious situation for both clubs. You know, so I'm really, you know, really delighted for the lads, delighted for the fan base, you know, cracking atmosphere again in here. So look, we break the game down. First half was excellent. First 40 minutes was excellent. Should have been 2-3 up. Thought we've got the first goal in the first half. I think we might get 2 or 3 before half time. Doesn't come. Then second half, I thought Birmingham were the better team. I thought we just went back to sort of last week where we turned the ball over a little bit too cheaply at times. You know, didn't secure the ball at the top end of the pitch, which was in the front four positions. And that asks a lot of pressure and strain onto the back line. But we stood up to it. And again, no lack of effort, determination, desire, passion within the stadium, on the pitch. And you need that one moment. And I thought Jaff was excellent as a centre-half today. But in that moment, again, at the top end of the pitch, you know, that's a Millwall-like centre-half, isn't it, Max?
Well, that was, of course, the voice of the man of the hour. Who else but Mr. Millwall, Mr. Miracle, Neil Harris, the man of the four-game now unbeaten run, where that was looking like one of the most remote possibilities imaginable not so long ago under Joe Edwards. But there we are, another win Saturday, and very dramatically done with that late corner from Jules Savile, headed home from close, as Neil touched on there, by Jeff Tanganga. Wonderful, wonderful moment. One of those big Millwall moments. Big atmosphere, as the man says there. And all in all, it was a very enjoyable finish to what had been at times potentially a frustrating afternoon for the Lions. I thought we dodged a few bullets, especially in that second half. And I must congratulate Neil Harris on his accurate game analysis. No more of this flim-flam that we've heard on too many occasions from Millwall managers. Kind of media talk. I think he got to the nub of it there, that we're not holding the ball forward for long enough to, and that puts a strain on the defence. But we rode our luck to some extent Saturday, and then we exploited that late chance, probably one of the first decent crosses in that we put in across the whole game, really, by Jules Savile there, headed home by a fantastic centre-half in the Millwall old school, Jeff Tanganga. Whether we can hang on to him next season, who knows? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to part 3 of this weekend's Achtung Millwall, number 654. I've got so much voicemail to bring to you, listeners, that I thought I would produce a third show. You lucky people. And I'm a lucky man because I get lots of good quality content from the many, many contributors to these voicemail shows. I love these shows. I love doing them. I love doing the little reaction pieces to each of the messages, and I try and do my, you know, justice to everyone that's sent stuff in to me. So if you want to join the Achtung gang, if you want to be in my gang, who sang that? Oh God, better not dwell on that. Give me a shout. Hit me up on X. We can exchange mobile numbers. You can, if you choose to, send me voice notes on X. It's quite easy to do on a direct message. Just press the voice button on there and speak, and it will come through to me as a voice note message. If you prefer to send me voice notes by WhatsApp, give me a shout on there. We'll exchange numbers. And, you know, Bob's your uncle. Away you go, so to speak. It's always great to get content from our listeners. I really appreciate it. And the more the merrier, from my point of view. I can put these shows out till the cows come home, dear listeners. So post-match, midweek, reaction to anything you like, really. Within the law, the laws of libel and slander. Apart from that, though, I'll take anything. Let's have a first of our voice notes in reaction to that excellent 1-0 win that we've described already. Let's have a listen to Angelo Miliotto.
Hi, Nick, it's Angelo, mate. Just wanted to have a couple of words, just to give a couple of shout-outs to some of the players. Great ending to the game. We absolutely went loopy when that goal went in. Fantastic corner, by the way. Fantastic corner by Saville. Whipped him with pace. And brilliant directional header from the man, Mr. Tanganga. Brilliant, mate. Top scorer under Neil Harris's reign so far. Yeah, he's getting better and better, that guy. There's no two ways about it, mate. Goal was just a bonus. Yeah, brilliant. Massive, massive 3 points. Yeah, just want to say well done to Sarkic. Sarkic, I'm starting to now have confidence in him. Handling is great. He made that good save in the first half, but to be honest, I was just behind that. I think it was going to, it wouldn't have gone in anyway. But yeah, he's a lot more confident. Joe Bryan, outstanding. I agreed with the notification in the ground that he was man of the match. I thought it was brilliant, mate. The only disappointing thing was that the team, he was in space so many times, Joe Bryan, and the team couldn't find him out there when he's attacking. They need to look for him all the time. He's always making them attacking runs. And we know he's got quality delivery, that guy. So you've got to look for him. There was one in particular, Billy Mitchell didn't see him. He could have slid him in. But yeah, brilliant. Joe Bryan was my man of the match as well. Lenny, fantastic, mate. Bloody brilliant. And he had a tough afternoon against that guy, Bakuna, who I quite like, Bakuna. He had a tough afternoon and he handled him pretty well and right at death when he makes that when he gets fouled and goes rolling and comes up with a fist pump. Fantastic, mate. Cooper, brilliant. Cooper made some nice little into midfield passes, a bit of Joe ball from Cooper. Obviously Tanganga, we've already spoken about, brilliant. Billy Mitch and Saville, they've done the job yesterday. Obafemi, I was so impressed with, mate. His hold-up play is fantastic for a little guy. He is so strong. And every time, even when the ball comes high, he was winning the ball, mate. Absolutely fantastic little striker he is. And again, he's going to get better and better and better every game that goes by. Fleming, yeah, you know, nothing is fantastic from Fleming. He did have that one chance where maybe when the ball come out to him about 30 yards out, a bit of a tame effort, but... But yeah, honeymoon, busy as normal. And Watmore. Watmore, I'm not Watmore's biggest fan, but listen, he done it right. He whizzed about and everything. But yeah, great afternoon. Brilliant atmosphere yesterday, I thought, actually. And I was very surprised how quiet the Birmingham fans were, by the way. They're normally a loud fan base, but they were very, very subdued. I don't think they sung once in the whole of the first half. But yeah, great day, massive 3 points, and obviously now we've got this tough two games coming up, Leeds and West Brom. So I think that's what makes the Birmingham result even more special, mate. Yeah, brilliant. Nothing like a 90th minute winner, is there? Harris, well done, mate. I watched the Cooper Millwall TV interview, and you know, Cooper's reaction when he's asked, is he enjoying working for Harris? You can just tell that the players love the geezer. The players are playing for Harris, mate. There's no two ways about it. They all love him. So I know he's not got the technical capabilities of Joe Edwards, but he's got something more special, which is what was lacking in Joe Edwards, mate. He knows how to motivate, how to get the players to fight. Yeah, I know it's not pretty, but let's worry about that next season, mate, as long as we stay in the Championship. Anyway, that's me done. Come on, you Lions.
Great stuff, Angelo. Thank you, mate. Yeah, playing for Harris. I am fascinated by this issue, listeners. You know, as Angelo just touched on there, Joe Edwards, with all of his array of top credentials, you know, qualifications, the clubs he's worked at, Chelsea, Everton, the national side, English national side, you know, the fabled Thomas Tuchel and Jose Mourinho contacts on his CV, the references, all of that, everything that you think ought to add up to a brilliant manager. And yet there's Neil Harris, a good, as it worked out, a very good lower leagues, championship, third division level striker. Maybe he could have gone further, but for the illness. But, you know, there's nothing to indicate that there's a manager there that could compete with someone with, you know, the likes of Joe Edwards. It's a bit like when you meet someone, listeners. I don't know if I'm going off piste here, but this is the purpose of the show. Have you ever been out with someone that's got all the right attributes, you know, looks, fashion sense, everything, you know? And yet somehow it doesn't spark. And then you meet somebody else maybe with not those attributes. I'm trying to be very delicate in my phraseology, listeners. You know me. I'm delicate in my phraseology, aren't I? But it does spark. And it's that kind of idea that it's not necessarily down to good looks. Maybe I'll leave that analogy there, but you know what I mean. Certainly Neil Harris has got the X factor over this group of players, and as Angelo's just touched on there, Jake Cooper clearly is a player transformed. I thought he looked like a lost, lonely lamb that had wandered out of the field and fell into a river, and there's no farmer nearby to get him out under Joe Edwards, and now he's looking like something of the Jake of the past. Same with Sarkic. And one or two others across the squad. I mean, obviously the Billy Mitch will be another player who's looking like he's really coming back into his own again, keeping out good quality players like Casper Danor. So yeah, no, I'm fascinated by this factor X, charisma, Riz, whatever you want to call it, whatever the kids call it. Anyway, big thank you there to Angelo. Let's move along now. Let's go with David Lieder-Kramer.
Hi, Nick. David Lieder-Kramer here on Sunday. First thing is that isn't it great to wake up on a Sunday morning and actually be not depressed and feel pretty elated that we've won and that we're on a really good run. Makes a fantastic change. Yesterday's game, I thought we did okay first half, actually. It wasn't brilliant, but we played with an intensity and a passion that has been missing for so many matches during the course of the season. I think we obviously had a number of chances which really we should have taken, or at least certainly taken one of them, but it wasn't to be. And inevitably Birmingham were going to come back at us, particularly in the second half, which they did. And again, we looked a bit ropey for maybe 20, 25 minutes under the cosh, really. But again, they didn't really create a lot of actual clear-cut chances, and Sarkic wasn't called upon to make a particularly brilliant save at any time. Of course, the final few minutes were fantastic with that last-minute goal from Tanganga, who he's obviously a really quality player. And now that he's coming back into some form of sort of, now he's got his fitness back and he's got his match fitness back, more importantly, he's proving to be a terrific player for us. The irony, of course, is that the better he is, the more likely it is we won't be able to afford him at the end of the season. But at the moment, I'd rather he played out of his skin and really contributed to a fantastic back line than obviously played poorly. I thought the atmosphere was great. Actually, in many ways, I thought it was better than against Watford, possibly because we've got more of a history against Birmingham and their fans were a lot louder, I felt. Next two games are going to be incredibly difficult. Leeds away, well, that's going to be a tough one. But as Harris says, he's never gone there and been frightened by anything, and he's certainly not going to start now. West Brom at home against good old Jed. Should be a cracking atmosphere as well, and we can't do any more than keep on winning. All in all, very enjoyable afternoon. Come on, you Lions.
Cheers, David. Yeah, it does make a big difference, doesn't it, listeners, to wake up on the Sunday or even as you're going home on the Saturday to have a win under your belt. And, you know, however it was achieved, no matter what category of football you put it into, 3 points and a 1-0 win feels bloody good compared with, you know, on occasions playing some good stuff and then getting beaten badly too often. So, no, it is refreshing, David. I make you right about Tanganga. I'm really hoping that at some point we can retain one of these good centre-halves we keep picking up on loan from Premier League clubs. Tanganga will be a wonderful addition. He seems to be really at home. I mean, obviously, in the end, playing for Spurs and, you know, the kind of his ambitions will be to play in the Premier League and at a high level, as high a level as he possibly can. But it would be nice if just once we can retain a Tanganga or a Cresswell or a Ballard. Anyway, we'll see on that front. Yeah, two difficult games looming. Leeds away and then West Brom. I think that's Good Friday. And I think that's a 1 o'clock kickoff. But both should be great events. Who knows how Leeds away is going to go. I think if Neil Harris can get under their skin in that Harris way, and the Millwall factor comes into play and we can make it awkward, then we've got a chance. What I do know, though, is you know some of the great games that I've seen versus Leeds, they do play well. They play good flowing football and they're a dangerous side at home. So, you know, it's nice to have the 3 points from Saturday, that's for sure. So great stuff there from David. I'm moving through the list of posts here in an alphabetical order. Dropbox sticks things into a form of alphabetical order, so I'm going to stick with that on this occasion. I'm going to go now with Glyn Horner.
Hi, Nick. Glyn here. Just thought I'd send you a quick one straight after the final whistle. What a result. Brilliant, brilliant performance. And yeah, just delighted with seeing how much the team are really fighting for each other and just... There's a bit of venom in the tackles now, and we haven't seen that for a while. I'm really liking what I'm seeing there about that little bit of aggression, that little bit of nastiness that's creeping into the team's performances. It's exactly what we want to see. It's perfect. Couple of mentions. I mean, Jules Saville, after the game at Blackburn, I thought, man, maybe he needed a break. He looked tired, and he's been putting in some tremendous performances. And today, he looked like he was fully rested and back to full form. So, you know, how he does it, I don't know. The bloke's an absolute engine, isn't he? And also want to mention, I thought Sarkic's distribution today was outstanding. You know, he was picking passes and putting the defence under pressure and coming out and claiming and intercepting when he had to. So full credit to the lad. Good job. Good job all round. And Neil Harris now, 4 games, 3 wins and 1 draw. Says it all. Come on, you Lions.
Cheers, Glyn. Yeah, Jules Saville. I've seen a few comments around the X scene, Twitter scene, whatever you want to call it, saying that Saville wasn't so good on Saturday. I can't really knock him. I mean, I thought, as you say there, Glyn, both he and Billy have really, you know, brought their A game, and that probably coincides with the return of Neil Harris, as we've said, through these series now, 3 shows this weekend. But I can't knock him. I thought the whole team, including Jules Saville, getting stuck in, and the tackling was wonderful to watch. I mean, sometimes we touched on it in the second show there with Jim asking what kind of club are we? What kind of football do we aspire to? And this kind of eternal dilemma between are we looking to try and turn ourselves into some kind of flowing football club? You know, something where we idolise the fine skills of the game. I don't think we need to exclude that. But fundamentally, whether I like it or not, and I saw it on Saturday, I think I even said it in the live stream, you give me a crunching tackle, a Ryan Leonard crunching tackle late in the game that sends the bloke flying and in a chase down to win a free kick and probably kill the game off, kill the win off. Well, that lifts my spirit and I can't help that. Maybe it's because no matter how far you go from Bermondsey, dear listeners, you remain a working class boy from Bermondsey, no matter how far you go or how high up the income level you travel. I think we're all, in the end, that. And it's hard to escape it. I still hope we don't have to exclude attacking quality football completely, but it's built on that. So, yeah, good stuff there from Glyn. Big thank you there, mate. Let's move along now. Let's have a listen to Harry Warren.
Well, good morning, dear listener. Harry Warren here after that magnificent last-minute win against Birmingham on Saturday. A little bit of revenge, oddly, for Stern John in the last minute. It's taken fucking near on 20, well, maybe over 20 years to fucking get a little bit of that against them cunts. But finally, the Birmingham hoodoo of a last-minute goal has turned round. I thought in the first half we were very, very good, actually. I thought we could have been 3-0 up at half-time if we had taken our chances. The Honeyman one in particular, I thought he might have done a little bit better with shot straight at Ruddy Waves on the floor. I think we had a corner that we put wide and Cooper's shot that Ruddy saved down low. I thought all could have been finished slightly better. But that was sort of nitpicking. I thought we went in at half time and we're doing well without really playing amazing football, but we were doing everything that we needed to do in a tight game and we're on top. But it was like at half time the roles totally reversed. We seemed to go backwards and Birmingham seemed to go forwards. For whatever reason, I don't know whether or not that's a little bit of the performances of being defend for, especially against Watford and slightly against Blackburn, have started to catch up with us. I think we've got a massive injury crisis in forward positions, and I don't know how you sort of combat that as a manager or a coaching staff. There's not really a lot you can do. You've got Obafemi and then no other striker. And Obafemi's been out for ages before he's come to us as well. So you're expecting him to do a lot of work for someone that's not, for someone's body that's not used to doing work. Yeah, he's a professional footballer and all that, but people take minutes and time and it takes a toll. And it's Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday is hard work. So yeah, when it comes to changing things up top and making changes, we were always going to struggle. And yeah, I get that people want to see SA and Longman and Mayer over Longman and stuff like that. But realistically, the proof of the pudding's in the eating. And we've won 3 games out of 4 under Neil Harrison. And realistically, got a draw, which could have easily been a win against Blackburn, steering us away from the relegation zone after yesterday's West Brom turnaround. They won 4-1 after being 1-0 down against Huddersfield. And although we can say we don't want to look at other teams, it does fill me with a little bit more fill me a little bit more confidence when we're 5 points clear as we sit here on Monday morning. But the simple thing is that we're a club transformed, aren't we? I mean, you can say what you like about the football, and many people do. But realistically, Gary Rowett won 4 games all season. Joe Edwards won 4 games in his tenure. Neil Harris in 4 games has won 3 games and hasn't lost in the other. We've got Leeds on Sunday. That's a massive free hit. That is a free hit. We all know it is with the results going at the top. Ipswich, Leeds and Leicester are in a three-horse race for 2 spots. So they're going to be gunning for it. They fucking hate us. They fucking hate Neil Harris. So fully expect Millwall to get a 1-0 shithouse win, kind of thing. That would be very Millwall. But, you know, I see people worrying about next season. Look, I don't know whether or not you all understand this. We kind of, under Gary Rowett, we kind of lost this Millwallness, and we lost the moments and the time. And you know, the Joe Edwards experiment or Joe Edwards experience was kind of like it was fine in its sense, and I totally get why people want to play nice football and you want to go there and be entertained and all this stuff, but people get entertainment in different ways. Maybe our support has changed. I mean, I sat in my block and I heard some of the shouts and the fucking views and opinions are wide and raging, and I think social media is not the barometer for the club to be taking it seems to, for me. And that's a worrying trait. At the end of the day, there's rumours about this Naismith. I can't fucking believe that you're all fucking fawning over a cunt that's been in charge of 4 games at Scotland, when the last time we appointed a manager from Scotland was fucking Steve Lomas after guiding St Johnson to fucking European football. And look how that fucking turned out. The only manager recently with a worse record than Lomas is fucking Joe Edwards. So be careful what you wish for. At the end of the day, I like winning football matches. And at the moment, we're winning football matches under Neil Harris. And to me, that should be good enough for everyone. You know, the people moaning about the football seemingly are the people that were Rowett apologists to me. And I can't see much difference, apart from I know there's passion involved in this one. I can't see the difference. Well, how can you be pro one without being pro the other? In the day, used to all say, oh, we don't mind as long as we're getting the results. And realistically, at the moment, we're playing not beautiful football, attritional, hard-working football, working-class football that some of you lot who, maybe I'm talking at the younger lot, who've grown up watching the Premier League, need to have a fucking reality check. Millwall spend 250 grand on a player, not 250 million. If he works his bollocks off and does everything he can, that's all I ask from him. And I think that's what they're giving to you at the moment. And I think that's the most important thing in a relegation fight. So yeah, well done Millwall. 3 wins out of 4, unbeaten in 4, 10 points out of 12. Fantastic, fantastic turn of events. Moving us away from the relegation zone. Could finish top half the way we're fucking going. But it was the death of Millwall Football Club, wasn't it, on that live show, Nick? Anyway, come on, you Lions. Let's fucking beat them cunts.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Yorkshire on Sunday.
I think we can all second Harry's sentiment there about Elland Road. Going to be a big match at the week. It's Sunday, isn't it? Sunday afternoon kickoff, 3 o'clock at Elland Road. Expensive tickets as well, dear listeners. In case you're thinking of going up there, it was about 40. Did I see £45? Is a Mickey take, to say the least. It's been an interesting season, H, and I know where you're coming from, because I mean, we've said this a few times on this show and the previous couple of shows we've done this weekend, this kind of philosophical idea as to what are we and what do we want to see. I loved watching Ryan Leonard, his late challenge, his late run and that challenge, and then winning the free kick and belting it into touch down by the back of Harry's bar. I mean, that's that's Millwall, and that's what we've always been used to. I do still think that we can aim for football that's played with pace, with movement and commitment. And, you know, whether that's what you call heavy metal football, I think that's the Klopp idea, isn't it? That you move. I mean, I quite like that idea. And that's kind of what I was hoping to see with Joe Edwards. It never, for whatever reason, it never took hold under Joe. I do think that what we're seeing with Neil Harris is the power of motivation. How long that can last for, I don't know. I think that, I'm going to presume that Neil will continue on into next season, presuming that we survive. And survival and safety is not that far away now. I reckon a couple of more wins and it will become a real prospect, because other results will start to reinforce the table, and the number of games available to turn things around become steadily reduced. So, you know, whatever we can get out of Leeds and West Brom and the games that follow will possibly define, you know, safety. If it's achieved fairly early in the season, then we can maybe start to think about blooding some of the youngsters, and Neil can see what he's got. So I'm kind of, I know where you're coming from, Harry. The attacking crisis, the injury crisis has not helped us this season. So I think to scratch wins by any means necessary at the moment is a massive, massive achievement by Neil Harris. And, you know, I am interested to see what he can do, because I'm going to guess he's going to be in charge next season. And I'm hoping that, as he said himself, he's developed as a coach, because we will need that development if we continue in the Championship on into next season. So, and backing. He's going to need the club to back him with decent quality players able to play, let's call it heavy metal football. I quite like that term, listeners. Bit of Iron Maiden or something, although they're West Ham, aren't they? Let's not use that analogy. Let's move along. Big thank you, Harry, there. Next in my alphabetically arrayed list is Joe from Chicago. And we'll follow Joe with John Rankin.
Joe from Chicago, calling in from somewhere in Indiana with my lovely friend Alex in the car with me. What a result. Was just screaming on the interstate, Japhet Tanganga. What a lion. What a player. 3 of 4 wins, 10 points on the trot. Where the fuck did this Millwall team come from? Amazing. Sensational. Life-changing. Come on, you Lions. Cheers, y'all.
Hello, dear listeners. Hello, Nick. John Rankin just calling in after that tremendous victory against Birmingham. Yeah, I mean, what can you say about that? It wasn't pretty, but I don't mind that at all. I mean, on previous podcasts, we've said that Neil Harris is going to set up with the aim of getting clean sheets or being very hard to score against and then scoring from set pieces. And that's what's transpiring. And I don't see any problem with that, actually. It's tough, hard football. You know, it's not exciting and free-flowing as we all want, but it will do the job. And it will certainly do the job for me. Today was very, very impressive. Really good defensive performance. Big shout-out to Joe Bryan. I was initially sort of a bit upset with Danny Mac being dropped on what seemed to be just one, you know, casual kind of error, which cost us 2 points, really, at Blackburn. But he'd been playing really well. And I thought, well, Joe Bryan, he's better going forward, but not as good defensively. But I've got to say that Joe Bryan was the complete article today. He played well defensively and he pushed forward really well. Absolutely fantastic performance. Japhet Tanganga, what can you say? Brilliant, brilliant effort there. And what a fantastic header. Reminiscent, I know that yourself, Nick, mentioned Barry Kitchener, but that's the sort of goal that Kitchener used to score. You know, ahead, into the corner, dominant, powerful, aggressive, towards the ball, and it was great, brilliant to watch. I couldn't quite believe it went in, and we were sent into absolute, you know, bedlam in the Coldblow Lane, and as the whole stadium was. Really, really good performance from everyone. The midfield worked well. You've got a feel for Casper Denor not getting in the team, but Billy and Sav are doing great work. Michael Obafemi's coming on now. And I think, you know, Zian Fleming and George Honeyman played well up front. It's a tough gig playing up front because you're going to be surviving off scraps. And at one stage, I mean, yeah, we weren't exactly passing the ball around in great series of play. But, you know, I don't care. It got the job done and we look as though it's hard to score against. So really, really happy. Good journey up, good journey home. A great result, and we go on to Leeds. So come on, you Lions.
Cheers, John, and cheers, Joe, in Indiana. Earlier on, from the Interstate Highway. I don't think we've ever had a call from the Indiana Highway before. That's a first. Cheers, Joe. Yeah, I know what you mean, John. I mean, no, not pretty. But I think we've debated quite a few times over these shows this weekend the merits of, I suppose, Joe Ball with its prettiness, but ultimately it failed because the players fell apart under it. Whereas under Neil, we've got now a structure and a coherence, a simplicity of approach, and a commitment. And the commitment in the tackle, I mean, we saw it Saturday where players are giving it fully. I mean, George Honeyman, I don't think I've mentioned him much personally in these shows, but like Ryan Leonard at the end, you know, these are tackles that lift fans out, bums off of seats. It gets the crowd into it, and the crowd being into it has made such a big difference at the Den. that's been the most refreshing thing. I hate this cliche, listeners, that we've got our Millwall back. I don't really like that phrase, like a lot of phrases I find. As I get older, I find a lot of things that I don't really like. But I don't really like that. But I know where it's coming from, because it does feel like we've got a familiarity in the way that we're approaching things. Casper de Noort, yeah, I don't know. Obviously, he can pick a pass very, very well. He will not be happy sat on the bench. Quite a few of the bench won't be very happy not to be involved. Ramon Essay won't be very happy. Adam Mayo is probably too young yet to not be very happy, but he will be itching to get involved in the mix. I'm hoping that we can achieve a measure of safety soon so that we can start to mix up the squad, which is working extremely, extremely hard. And when that moment comes, or if that moment comes, I probably should say, rather than tempt Lady Fate, who is a cruel, cruel mistress, then but if that moment comes soon, then we can start to bring in some of these players and give them a bit of a run out, and Neil can get a sense of where maybe what blend he can use for next season. But the, you know, Saturday, I thought, was a good example of old school Millwall taking the game to the opponents. Yeah, we could have done better in the first half. We had chances and didn't take them. But then we are with an injury-stricken front line, as you've just said there, John. But we rode out a pretty tough storm when Birmingham came back into it at the start of the second half. And not so long ago, listeners, we would have crumbled. So that, as I keep saying, I make no apologies for repeating it, is down to the charisma of the manager. And whether you like it or not, that's an indefinable attribute that Neil Harris has got. Big thank you then, Joe. Big thank you, John. We're going to move along. Last two. Now we're going to play Lawrence Binney and then follow it with Matt Webb.
All right, Nick. Lawrence Binney here. Calling in after Millwall 1, Birmingham 0. I actually think that was a fairly solid performance today. It was certainly a lot easier on the eye than the Watford game. I think Watford were a better team than Birmingham, but fair play to Birmingham. I think they did put us under quite a bit of pressure in that second half. And if their young striker Jay Stansfield could have finished one of those chances, maybe it would have been a different story. But yeah, first half I thought we controlled the game really well. I think we showed a lot of composure on the ball. I've been kind of slightly frustrated recently that like any constructive criticism of how we retain the ball under Harris is, you know, kind of seen as like, oh well, you know. You know, he's here to get results. We're not here to play pretty football. Well, actually, I think playing a slightly prettier version of football actually makes us a more effective football team, and we saw that today. We were in control of that game in the first half, and we didn't give Birmingham a sniff. If you don't give teams a sniff, then it eases pressure on the back line. So more of that, please. I want to give a special mention to Michael Obafemi, who, even though he wasn't getting much service, I thought really put himself about quite well and kind of ran his socks off. Honeyman, as ever, is, you know, just everywhere. Good battling performance. And how nice is it to celebrate a 90th-minute winner and also celebrate a goal at the cold blow lane end, which I feel like we haven't done for quite a long time now, actually. I want to say, kind of autumn 2023 was probably the last time I saw a goal scored at that end. So, yeah, brilliant. Well done, Millwall. Well done, Neil Harris. Come on, you Lions.
Morning, Nick. Matt Webb here. Giving you my voice note from yesterday's result. Millwall 1, Birmingham City 0. Message to all the Birmingham City fans out there. It's not nice conceding the goal in the 90th minute. Now you know how we felt all those years ago. So now you can stop singing that sodding Stern John in the last minute song. Because I'm hoping that our goal in the last minute puts you right in it. And we have. That's my first point. Okay, on to the actual game itself. I'm going to start personally with some negatives. Or actually a couple of negatives, I'll be honest with you. And then I'll put on to the positives. My first negative, if you don't mind me putting this out, is a player that, again, I've had my doubts and my views on him for quite a lot this season. Some have been mixed, well, they have been mixed. Some have been good, but most of the time it has been poor, and that's Duncan Watmore. Under Rowett, I didn't see what he brought to the team and just thought he's a waste. Waste of a signing, waste of a spot in the team. Then he had a little bit of a resurgence under Edwards, but now back under Harris, similar sort of style in which Rowett played, he's gone back to his original self. I personally cannot think what he brings to the team. You know, if we need someone who runs around like a headless chicken, I'd rather stick a chicken on the pitch. He can't beat players. He's not willing to get stuck in. And I just don't get how he is being picked ahead of even Longman to an extent, or even the lad, Mayor, or even Norton Coffey. I just don't get it. I'm trying not to be really negative towards him, but I watched that game yesterday and I just think, what is he doing on that pitch? And it's not the first time this season. Has he got a future at the club? Well, not if we're playing the style that we want to play. I don't think so. And that's my first sort of negative. And to be honest, my only negative from yesterday, apart from obviously the style of football. Now, I know it's not pleasing on the eye, but it's not exactly... it's not great to watch, but do you know what? The results are coming, and I think at this time of the year, we've just got to accept that. Another negative is obviously a distinct lack of attacking threat. I'm certain we're going to have to draft someone up from the 21s to join the squad. Abdul Malik or whoever is banging in the goals in the resis, because we can't be going to games against the likes of Birmingham with one fit striker, and that fit striker only having, yesterday even was his first 90 minutes he's played in God knows how long. So we can't go moving forward and only have one fit striker. We do have to dip into the kids. And you know what? You never know. One of them might surprise us and have a bit about them and thrive on the opportunity. So, yeah, that's just the way it is. But, as I said, there's only a couple of things negative today. I thought positively, I mean, that man at the back, Japhet Tanganga, what a player. He's getting released at Tottenham, I hear, at the end of the season. Could Millwall put a cheeky bid in for him? You know, will he enjoy his South East 16 experience? I'm hoping so. You know, we could... You know, looking ahead, we could build a team around someone like him. But he's an absolute colossus at the back. He was brilliant today. And the way he took that goal, I never celebrated so much for a player that has scored for Millwall. He's come on leaps and bounds. And again, that's just come through game time, match practice. And now he's up to the level where we know Japhet Tanganga can be. Another shout out for Sarkic, but then great, he didn't have much to do apart from one save. You could call it a save, or he just deflected a crossfield shot. So I'm pleased about that. Billy Mitch again, workhorse in that middle of the park, fantastic, liked it. And even Fleming today, again, had a bit about him today. Really enjoyed watching him. He's come back to his industrious self. Good performances all around, with the exception of who I've named. Although I don't think Leonard had the best of games. And he didn't have a rough... I'm not saying he had a bad game, but he didn't have his best of games. I think Bakuna kind of was bypassing him quite easily on that right-hand side. But not taking any way, he wasn't shit. He was just... I don't think he had the best of games. I was a bit unfortunate for Danny Mack being dropped, but... is what it is. But then Joe Bryan did do well in that left back role. So all in all, yeah, a positive performance, positive result anyway. And we're now 5 points. 5 points. That is a massive margin now in this league. Hearing obviously teams Watford and below, and especially now that Watford have just got rid of their manager. Anyone out of the bottom half really can get pulled in now. And all right, for a neutral, that's exciting. But for a Millwall fan, that's opportunity. And the fact that we've got majority of these teams coming to us. I mean, if we look at the remaining fixtures, Nick, we've got Leeds coming up now. I think I'm glad we got that 5-point cushion, because I think Leeds is going to be a slap in the face a little bit. We'll have to do extremely well just to get a point. And if we do, my God, we're staying up. But I'm glad we got the 5 points because of the fact that we've got Leeds away coming up. And also, we've got West Brom coming to our gaff. But apart from that, is there any other teams, apart from them two, that I feel worried? Do you know what? I did about a month ago, but now I don't. I feel we're 7 points from that illustrious 50-point mark. And we'll get there. We'll get there, but I'd love to get there early April, mid-April if I can, so that we can enjoy at least the last 3 or 4 games of the season, knowing full well that we've cemented our spot in the Championship. Am I getting ahead of myself a little bit? No, because I'm seeing green shoots from the Harris regime now coming through, and I'm seeing the results match it. Come on, you Lions.
Big thank you, Matt Webb, there to close our selection of voicemails for this weekend. I want to say a big thank you to everyone who sent stuff in. Really appreciate it. As I've said a few times, do give me a shout on the X direct messages. And we can either exchange numbers or you can just send me a voice note on X. I really, really look forward to everyone's contribution to these shows. I'm just looking at the league table, just talking about 50 points there, Matt. We're 7 points shy of that point now. This is not hard and fast. It's like a generally accepted level that in general achieves safety. I do remember Charlton went down a few years ago with 55 points, and I think that was in the 18-19 season. So, you know, nothing's guaranteed with 50 points, but it does at least put you into generally the safety zone. Below us at the moment, I think the main thing we've got now, we've got this 5-point gap now to the third relegation slot, which is Huddersfield. We've got a lot of bodies between us and there, so we do need to keep grinding out points. We need more of the same, in truth. And then, as Matt says there, once we've got safety in our grasp, then maybe we can start to play some of the youngsters, some of the lesser names that have not had much of a chance. That can give some of these boys a rest that are performing magnificently. And Saturday, just to close us, was in the end, by hook or by crook, a magnificent win and one of the most enjoyable results for a good few years at the Den now, really, when you weigh up the circumstances. So big thank you to everyone for listening to these three shows. Big thank you to you too, dear listeners. We can't do this without you. If no one listens to the show, there ain't no point. So big thank you to everyone involved. And just one final shout out to the Mizzen family. It was Jimmy's day on Saturday. When I first started doing the podcast, we used to have round table shows, which have become superseded by the Zoom. Zoom didn't exist when I first started doing the podcast. So we used to physically meet, and I managed to arrange with the Mizzen charity at the time, Barry and Margaret, to use their premises. They had a place, like an old shop unit over at Hither Green, which gave us a quiet space in which we could do the recording. And it was really useful. So I had the pleasure of meeting both Barry Mizzen and Margaret. And they're both wonderful people. I mean, what a loss to have to contend with in your life, to lose your son at such a young age, with his whole life in front of him, to such tragic circumstances. But honestly, they are living examples of what I would call, and I don't say this in any ironic way, but they are living examples of Christian forgiveness, because to be able to continue with your life and to do something with the charity they set up, the Mizzen Foundation now it's called, I just think is awesome. And that's a word that's overused in this life. So having met them both, I've got a lot of time for what they do and the aims of the Mizzen Foundation, which is in the end education and to combat the mistakes that youth can get themselves into, especially nowadays with the ease of access to bladed weapons of all kinds. So big shout out to the Mizzens. There we are, the listeners. I think we've said enough. Two shows. Part 3 is over. Do have a listen to parts 1 and 2. Big thank you to everyone who's contributed. Thank you to you for listening. Wherever you are in the world, let's hope for a bit of peace, love and understanding out there. Until the next edition of Achtung Millwall, it's me, Nick Hart, signing out. Arrivederci Millwall. Bye for now.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.